Howdy, folks. You're listening to the Day Tripper Podcast, Episode 5. And today we'll be giving you a behind-the-scenes look at the first part of Season 6. Sort of giving you that insider's perspective on what we do here at the Day Tripper. I got Mr. Todd White over here on my left.
Howdy, 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 folks.
Mr. Richie Lozano.
That's me.
I don't know what that was, but that's Richie for sure. And Miss Kelly Baldwin joining us again. So happy to have you. All right, guys, let's jump in. Okay, so today's podcast is brought to you by the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. I got to remember you're going to put that splash.
Every
in
time
there.
You stop.
You think I get used to it. But the Highland Lakes is your spot to find that getaway, that cabin, that family reunion spot up there in the Highland Lakes. If you've been watching the show, you probably know it's the beautiful region of Texas that stretches from Lake Buchanan down to Lake Travis. We were just out there at a place called Log Country Cove that has like 30 log cabins hidden away in the hills. I mean, this place was amazing.
It was awesome. It was the docks that are out there, the sunset across. It was just amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And then your kids. Oh, my gosh.
My kids loved it. Oh, yeah. Yay. That's them cheering
that's your
for
brood,
a lot.
That's your brood of kids?
That's right.
Is 19 and counting?
Yeah, you didn't
two?
Know. I just, well, 20. I think my wife had 20 yesterday, but I lost count a while back. But no, we were out there, and Log Country Cove is just one of the many, you know, amazing, one-of-a-kind type of places that you find in Burnett County. So thanks to the Highland Lakes. You can find all the information at thehighlandlakes.org, thehighlandlakes.org. All right, guys, so let's jump in. I think we just had 5 episodes air. I'll spout them out. We had the State Fair. After that was Marble Falls, then Lubbock, then Port Lavaca, and Grapevine. So if you guys missed any of those, you can find them online at thedaytripper.com or keep watching PBS. You'll see them air again. But man, that was a wild ride of episodes to film. I had a blast.
I had an okay time.
Yeah, just okay. Yeah. You're fired. Kelly, you're fired. No, it was, you know, it is crazy. We try to boil this down into a formula to get this show down into a formula to get more efficient at our jobs. But man, it just is almost impossible to sort of figure out. The destinations are always a moving target. We always have fun. The people are always different. The situations are always different. You try to plan, and then you just throw it all out the window.
There has to be a certain amount of chaos, I think, for it to work, though.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise, then you're just going down a checklist.
Absolutely. And you know, we'll talk about it some, but like weather even is the wild card in all of this.
Oh,
too,
I know!
Weather's a big
it's
wild
crazy.
Card. It's crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then, you know, each place we've planned shoots, and then we find out the day before, oh no, that place isn't open on Monday. It's like, oh, what? How did that fall through the cracks? So then you re-swizzle, you move shoots down the pipe. Sometimes weather throws in a wrench. Sometimes you try to catch a fish and you don't catch a fish, and then that throws a wrench in the system. But we've got lots of it was really fun to make these shows. And I think we actually started our season 6 premiere was the State Fair of Texas. We filmed this one further before the air date than we ever mm-hmm. have with mm-hmm. anything in the past.
We were one solid year out,
yeah.
I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right. Because, hey, State Fair only happens once a year. I mean, it happens for a month when it does, just under a month. But if you want to make an episode about it, you have to film it the year before and then sit on it and then air it the year after.
Right.
That was kind of crazy.
October of 13, we were out there then.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So for you naysayers out there that thought that we were trying to pull something because Big Tex had a different shirt on this year.
those fools at the State Fair changed it on us. We didn't change it on you.
Man.
They changed it on us.
I don't know, though. I kind of like the white shirt better.
I'm a big fan of the white shirt.
It's clean and crisp.
That's right. Big Tex looked classy in the white. Mm-hmm. Now he just... You know, not that I don't like the blue, but the white was different. It was classy. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just classic looking. And I asked the people at the State Fair why they changed Big Tech's shirt, because before, I think he rode the same shirt for about 4 or 5 years at a time, and they said it was an effort to Texify the state every element of the State Fair. But it was already red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I think
it's
that's...
called Of Texas.
Yeah.
Of Texas.
Of Texas.
You know,
his name is Tex.
Tex, I guess.
So does that mean that you can't wear your white Big Tech shirt that you paid that money for?
Thank
you.
It was quite expensive. I did buy it. The shirt was like $60, but I needed it for the show.
Halloween costume also.
And I wore it for a Halloween costume. Yep.
Now it doesn't work, though.
No one knows
who you are.
That's right.
That's not Big Tex. I know what Big Tex looks like. He's in blue. You're in white.
It just looks like this.
Clearly, sir, you are mistaken.
Kitschy Texas shirt. But we went to the State Fair this year. We just went back, actually. Had to try all those new fried foods out there. And, man, I'll tell you, fried shrimp boil is amazing, by the way. Fried shrimp boil is amazing. But that's a random aside. A lot of the attendants were wearing last year's Big Tex shirt, so I still felt like I owned something valuable.
at least for this year. Next year, gone.
But there was someone on Facebook who was like, hey, that's not the shirt Big Tex is wearing this year. What are y'all trying to do to us? You can't trick us. So we're watching you, Day Tripper.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin's now a fan of the day?
I guess so.
Hey, what?
Every angry comment we get on Facebook or email, I read it in a Stone Cold voice to myself.
Hey, this is the Stone Cold Steve Austin. I can't do Stone Cold.
What? What? No, that's not. I mean... I don't think anyone can do Stone Cold but him. But, you know, we wanted to do the State Fair. It was a deviation for what we normally do. People ask, hey, when are you going to go to festivals? And the answer has always been never, because we want to show everybody the any given day kind of day trip. You go to a small town when there's a festival going on, it's going to be completely different. Mm-hmm. They're going to roll out the red carpet. There's going to be vendors and carnival rides and all of this. And you don't really get that flavor that you find all the other days of the year. But we figured we'd make an exception, and we did the State Fair, which it presented a very difficult production problem, because it only happens once a year, so you really have to film that a year in advance.
And then we had to do the whole thing in one day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
that was another thing.
That was a big challenge. I mean, there was plenty to capture. It's not as if we were like, oh well, that's only on tomorrow. I mean, we had everything there, but that was one of our first shoots to use two cameras at once.
Yeah.
Because then we definitely did a lot of splitting up throughout the day. We had who was the lady that drove us around in the golf cart? The people at the fair
were
fantastic.
Great. They were all great. We had a few that day, but they were all great.
But they took us around in a golf cart almost everywhere. It's like, oh, TV people and your golf carts. It's like we had a good excuse. I mean, we had to cover a lot of ground. In one after we got there in the morning.
Yep.
Dallas traffic, thank you very much. That was interesting as well. And then we immediately got into golf carts, and we just had 1,000 things to hit. I think midday we actually split up.
Yeah, we did. We split up midday.
That was Todd's first time to run camera.
Right, so Todd went out and got like extra ostrich races.
And then I stepped in a big pile of cow poop trying to get a shot of the kids washing the cows down and stuff. And I was like looking through the camera, and all of a sudden like that got really smushy.
How come that didn't make the show? Just look down, shoot that.
I was by myself.
And we were in the, I think we were still in the arcade games while he ran off to do that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We caught the...
Well, the ostrich races happen like once a day, and it's at the end of the day, and I think maybe we were setting up for the parade at that point.
Something like that.
Something.
We had to do a lot of multitasking.
Yeah. Because we were really cramming it into one day. We thought two cameras, one location, a big location given, which this is a confession, and you see those corrections that they do in magazines. This in the episode, I say on the final product, I didn't realize this till it aired, so correction, everybody. I said, the State Fair covers 5,000 acres. And I was like, I always record ridiculous voiceover, because I'll know it's ridiculous when we polish it, and I'll go back and change it later when I haven't fact checked it yet.
Boys and girls, don't record your VO without first fact checking.
Well, I was in the booth or something. I was like, oh yeah, I didn't look up how many acres. I'll say something so ridiculous that I won't, that I, there's no way I'll let this get through down the road. But anyway, it did. The State Fair is actually 277 acres, not 5,000.
That's like more than all of Dallas.
Wow.
We've got to go back and fix that for the online version. But anyway, correction, everyone. Intern, you've now become the fact checker in this, Mary.
I mean, like, because there's 215,000 details that go into the episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Once you just keep looking past it twice, you go, well, I guess that's right.
I haven't looked up someone's last name, so I'll say something ridiculous like, Mary Quat Contrary behind the grill at this restaurant. So that way, it'll trigger me.
I'm the one that goes, this isn't her real last name, is it?
Yeah, because if I said Mary Thompson, that slipped through. You wouldn't know that was fake,
I'll say something silly.
And I tried to say something silly with 5,000 acres, but I guess it wasn't silly enough. I should have said... A million acres.
Yeah.
But, when we went to the State Fair, one of the things I was most excited about was the fried butter. Oh, man. I hadn't had it yet, and I'd have so many people tell me about it. And let me tell you, it was good. Really good.
It was
good.
Really good. It was like, just like you said on camera. It was like a beignet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That's another thing we split up cameras for, to cover all the fried stuff.
Oh, man.
Because there was so much of it between.
Yeah.
I think we did do a big sit-down interview for
the Thanksgiving dinner.
Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, that was kind of one of our only. Fletcher's Corny Dogs and Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
We
split up again to cover most of Thanksgiving dinner, because none of the production of the Thanksgiving dinner was in that little shop. It was somewhere else on the fairgrounds.
Yeah, like way across the fairgrounds.
Right, so we split up again, and that wasn't like right next to each other. And then Fletcher's was cool because it was all right there.
Yeah.
And that was pretty fun. But fried beer had an interesting story. So in the episode, you see that fried beer squirt, right? Because everyone tells you put the whole thing in your mouth. Of course, it's like, I'm going to find out what happens when you.
Well, I wanted to bite it like in half and show the audience that there was liquid sort of in this little cup. But that didn't work out very well.
It squirted, and then it landed on the camera, like dead on the camera. So what goes to air right before this big splotch of oil or beer goes right on the lens. And I was like, great, this hot beer is going to like tear the coating off of the front of the lens. And some of it landed on Kelly and on the audio gear. And I was like,
I thought the fried beer.
I had like a good like four, like a 3 foot arc came off of that.
No kidding. That's true.
Of that beer. That was nasty.
You know, fried beer was one of those things that was better than I expected because I had so many people.
Todd over here disagreed.
I was Todd.
Well, here's the deal. I had maybe a dozen people tell me it's gross. Be prepared to throw up. Eat it next to a garbage can because you're going to just heave it all up at once. And I was like, okay, let me prepare for this. And I tried it, and I was like, oh, this kind of tastes like I expected. It didn't taste like,
it was garbage. Mm-hmm. It really tasted like they used cheap beer like Keystone or something.
They
in
said
there.
It was Shiner
bad.
They said it was Shiner Vodka.
Yeah, but everyone agrees beer goes bad when it gets warm. Any beer is going to be horrible.
Hot beer.
But I think this beer started out bad.
Okay, maybe. I don't know.
It's like lipstick on a
fried
pig.
Butter,
fried
butter was awesome, but there was so much fried stuff we didn't try. We didn't try fried olives.
I tried fried olives the week before I had gone up to the state fair. And I am so big. There are not enough green olives in this world to quench my craving.
Gross.
And so I got
she'll buy a glass jar of them sometimes. I think I've seen her do this at a gas station and like just eat them. I'm like
a fork and a can of olives.
I'll do a glass jar of pickled okra.
Oh, dude, I can terrorize one of those.
Yeah, I'll nail some pickled okra. But this one, Kelly and olives.
They were fried olives. That same place had fried biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, we didn't get to those.
I went back the next day with my family and tried fried pimento cheese, which was amazing. Ooh. Like all the fried food there, this year it was over the top, which it is every year. I tried one thing called the fried blue bonnet, which was like a blueberry muffin stuffed with cream cheese, wrapped in a scone and deep fried. That was amazing. Fried sriracha. Like fried sriracha.
You just take a ball of sriracha.
Well, no, it's like mixed with chicken. It's like a chicken casserole, a really spicy chicken casserole.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was awesome.
Wow.
We could make a state fair episode every year with just the fried food.
Yeah,
I'm gonna see if we can pull that off.
Well, how many corn dogs did you eat that day?
I only had one corn dog.
I had one.
I'll plead the fifth. Because we got there, I ate a corn dog because I was hungry. Then I made one on camera and I ate that one. And then I needed one to eat a corn dog as I walked out to the camera, so that was three. And then we came back in the afternoon, and I needed one for the big text stunt.
Yep.
And so that was four. I think I ate four corn dogs that day.
I was impressed, because I'm not really a corn dog person. Like, usually the frozen corn dog things.
Yeah, well, if that's all you've had.
Well, they give me a headache. I don't know what it is, but the batter, maybe.
What?
But these were good. These were, well, of course,
oh, dude,
good,
yeah, they're amazing. Awesome. It's like a cornmeal. I mean, it's unlike anything you've had. It's by no means just a frozen corn dog.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
and
so good.
Y'all remember this? Millionaire pies? Remember
the oh, yeah. Oh, we got one of those like on a whim walking out or something.
It was at night. That's right.
Yep.
We had, because we were setting up for the parade, and you got a turkey leg.
Yeah.
Did you even finish that turkey leg?
Not a chance, no. I was stuffed. I'd eaten four corn dogs that day.
But Chet, don't you finish everything that you eat on
Oh, yeah, that's the big mystery.
As far as the audience knows, Chet,
if you take one bite of it, you've finished it in
one of the most common
mind,
questions.
Which is fine.
One of the most common questions we get when people see Chet in person is, how do you stay so thin?
Yeah. And then, how do you eat all that food? Like, you saw me take a few bites. And then we had to move on to the next thing because it's a grueling pace.
Have you ever seen Chet finish a plate? Well, now just say it. No.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah. There are occasions where I'll accidentally finish and I still have things to say. And I'm like, oh, never mind. I'm done.
So one of the other things that happened too in this particular shoot was we turned Chet loose with the drift action camera.
We left.
Yes, we were gone. I stayed to go with my family the next day.
I'm going to get a few shots, and I'm going to take the action drift cameras out and do whatever.
Yep.
And Chet, being the bold dude that he is, decided to strap. He's like, I'm going to see if I can strap this camera to the outside of the Ferris wheel.
No.
You even said they were like, I don't think so, sir. And you're
did.
Trust me.
I wasn't being such a good listener that day. But the drift, I tried to suction cup it to the top of the Ferris wheel.
One of the cars. Yeah,
I said, if this will drop, it'll go on the floor of the little bucket and we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you know? No, it didn't. And we got to the very top of the Ferris wheel. All of a sudden, I hear like the suction cup coming undone, and then dunk, and then boop, 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 dunk, 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 all the way down. And you know that thought is like, I've just killed someone. 212 feet. I've just killed someone with a camera. Oh no, there's going to be cops waiting at the bottom. And I said, if it's a good shot, if it's a cool shot, awesome. But if I've killed someone, not awesome.
But if I got it on tape halfway.
So anyway, this drift fell all the way to the bottom and the screen was LCD. Crushed.
Yeah.
And drift, if people don't know, it's like a competitor with the GoPro.
With a rotatable lens.
But it has a rotatable lens, which is why we like it. The built-in screen was smashed and still is to this day, but the camera still works. That shot got scrambled or whatever, but
it didn't even record that shot.
It was a huge file, but you couldn't open it because it was all scrambled.
Yeah.
But the drift still works, man. We still use it.
He's proud of it.
I'm proud of it because I didn't kill anyone. If I'd killed someone, I wouldn't be as proud about it.
Okay, and then we ate the corn dogs, and people stared at us. We did the Barker when you were there at the Midway Games thing.
No one knew you. No. They kind of thought I was just part of the fair.
They had to see us with cameras to know that you were just some idiot out there.
Well, at the fair, you kind of block out the people going, come on, over here. You know you want to win this, you know, and so you kind of put your blinders up. Because they're all trying. Their pay must be based on how many people play their game, which is fine because they're all out there going, come on over here, lady. I'll cut you a deal. I'll give you three darts for two or whatever. And so we were kind of doing that, and people just sort of walked by unnoticing. Nope.
And not knowing that we had planned out insults like, oh, sir, take your mother. Oh, that's your wife. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that was a lot of fun. The State Fair was a blast. I don't know when the next time we'll do a festival is because it's a very unique kind of thing, but we made an exception for the State Fair. I think it paid off. It was a fun episode. Very fun episode.
I agree. And the people there are great. They were fantastic.
They were awesome. And the State Fair is a one-of-a-kind experience. I mean, you got to do it. You got to do it.
So how about Marble Falls?
Ooh, that was a good one. That was a really fun one.
That was our big action-adventure.
Yeah. Not unintentionally. I feel like we set out to kind of make a nice hill country town one. And when we got looking at it, we're like, we're hang gliding, we're going ATVing, we're going supping, we're eating at a brew pub. Like, it had a lot of
we're speedwalking, kind of, with an old man down a hole. We never really saw him down there.
Yeah, that's right.
But Kelly, you weren't there for that one.
Missed that episode because I was attending the X Games that weekend.
We'll talk about that later.
I had my own extreme sports weekend.
All I got to say is Greg, when you guys
Greg
went...
Yeah, Greg.
When you guys went ATVing... And then we had to get back in the car with you guys. Y'all stunk. And you guys were like walking and dust is just coming off of you.
Oh, man, you could slap your jeans, like, you know, slap your leg and poof, big paddle cloud of smoke came out.
I couldn't believe how dirty we were after getting off.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
first, okay, so there's tons of footage, right? We put cameras everywhere on the ATVs, and you see 10%
of
what we shot.
Maybe. I mean, you've got an hour of the GoPro just like getting different angles.
Times three with four different cameras.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was intense. And that comes down to a nice three minute segment. Sure. Probably even less.
Uh huh.
But
very fun.
But, and then the viewers pretty much see what we got there. We did that. I remember that the water bit wasn't really part of where they wanted to take us.
Yeah. We sort of, I mean, they would have taken us for 4 or 5 hours messing around at the ranch. This was Hidden Falls Adventure Park out there in Marble Falls. The guys are amazing. I mean, really nice guys. They would have let us just spend all day doing this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You rode on basically a UTV, a mule, whatever you want to call it. Yep. Yeah, with Brian. And then a guy, Lance, I believe was his name, rode behind us on a dirt bike.
Right.
And we just kind of cruised around. But that was just me and you. The rest of the crew took off with the owner, Brooks, in his Jeep.
And that Jeep was amazing. I mean, it was like tricked out. I was thinking, can this really go up this vertical climb. So it was hot, and he just kept going. It was myself and Lindsay. Yep.
And then Lindsay, the intern.
Yeah.
This was her first shoot with us, wasn't it?
Way to break her in, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was her first shoot.
So sure enough, all I hear when we get back is, Oh, they're trying to kill us. So what happened?
I'll just say that, when we went up that vertical incline and we're going up, it was, I thought we were going to like tip back, and the guy's like, ah, this is all good. All I heard was like sailor talk coming from the back seat. I mean, it was
the sweetest girls you'll ever meet are sitting there back there, and you swear they're sailors.
Leaving the whole way. Because they were like, because otherwise they were going to sit there and do nothing while me and Chet and the two guide guys were going to be out for an hour or two.
But there were some gorgeous, beautiful, scenic shots that we grabbed that ended up in the episode, and some shots of you guys far away
because we were catching you guys coming.
But it was really interesting.
And sure enough, we were midway through our run, and of course, everyone has radios out there to know where you are, at least the guides do. So they were radioing back and forth and said, oh, we've got the rest of the crew. We'll meet you at that one tree down this one path.
Yeah.
So sure enough, we caught up to them, and you see them in the in the back seat of that Jeep, like sweating, half crying,
clinching those roll bars for dear life.
I said, what happened? They tried to kill us. Because the premise was that y'all were going to go get those beauty shots.
Yeah, they just needed to go to the highest point, right, get the beautiful hill country
but
shots.
But in fact, they did some some crazy climbing with that
Brooks
Jeep.
Brooks kind of took
really
them on
it. It was awesome. it was way too much fun.
They showed us a real good time.
Yeah, I can't speak as well enough about those guys. It is so fun, and they make it so easy to go and do that. It's a blast. The other action adventure thing we did out there was hang gliding, which wasn't so easy.
That was tough.
Yeah, we knew was tough. On occasion, if we know filming is going to take a good while, we won't use one of our two primary days. We'll come back another day and do it.
Especially if it's close, like Marble Falls, we
will. So we scheduled hang gliding on a certain morning. We got out there early, and the captains were like, nah, I don't trust them clouds. Like, the way they said it, they said,
Is that Stone Cold again?
Yeah, no, this is the old prospector. I don't know. He's like, there's gold in them near heels. No, they're like, we don't trust the clouds. And they, Chet, listen to us. There are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old, bold pilots.
Right.
And it was like, that says it. He was like being super conservative. So when you watch the episode, you're like, that's crazy. It's too risky. No, no, no. Those people who are doing that, taking you up there, they don't risk anything. They only do it under perfect circumstances. So the time we went out there, he called it off. And then we had to schedule another day, went back out there, and we were going to, like, Todd, you wanted to go do it. And his engine wasn't acting perfect. And so he said, Chet's the only one. You know, we got what you needed. We'll come back another day, which we still have to schedule.
Yeah. It's funny, and it's a good thing they canceled that first day because, sure enough, it was a gorgeous morning. And they're like, I don't trust see those clouds out there. They're like rolling underneath. It's rolling.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that night, like a monster storm came through town.
Yeah, it did.
So they called it. They knew it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what you have to remember is with those guys, they told us, just because you're on the ground and it feels good and it looks pretty, once you get up there, things are very different.
Yeah.
A 1,000 and 2,000 feet up in the air.
Uh-huh.
And with a glider being so light, you play by the wind's rules. There is nothing to fight on the other end. So it's got to be super perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it took us 3-4 days to make Marble Falls, technically.
It kind of did. But it was worth it, man. That glider was one of the best things I've done. I mean, we went up in the sailplane in Marfa, and that was wild. I'm glad I did that first because if I'd hang glided before I did that, I think I might have been like, oh. Because when you're in a cockpit, you see everything around you. You can't see the ground unless you sort of like bend your neck to look out the window and look down. And when you're up in a hang glider, you're up at 2,500 feet with nothing below you. You've got this little small bar that you're hanging onto, and it is just a straight drop to the ground. It is bizarre. It's weird. It's weird, though, because you don't get the sensation like you're going to fall because you're already laying down. And so when you're laying in that little cradle, it kind of messes with your mind that you get no sensation I'm going to fall. Like if I stepped up to an edge and I looked down a 2,500-foot drop, I'd be like, oh, if I take one more step, I'm going to fall. But you're laying down, which it messes you up in a whole nother way.
Oh, cool. Crazy.
Yeah. It was
You know,
it was
whenever you guys, when you guys landed too, one of the things we didn't put on the camera was when you guys landed and you were like all excited. You're like, woohoo! And you just about took the whole thing in the water. I mean, you like were going down.
I almost rolled it.
You have to stand up on that bar.
Yeah, you stood up and it was like, you're going to go in.
I almost dipped the whole thing. turned us just straight upside down.
Because there's those buoys at the front, and they only only support so much weight.
Yeah, they're weighted. The weight needs to be near the back, and we almost nosedove, which I guess the whole glider would have turned upside down.
And then I'm sure that a lot of the viewers will agree. There are some things in life you cannot unsee, and you in bronze paint. Is one of those moments. Gross.
I've had people ask me what you were doing with that bronze paint.
You know, there are some bits that I imagine in my brain. I go, "This will be kind of fun," and then when you actually do them, you're like, "This is just weird."
I think that was intern Lindsay's her last days with us.
Oh man, this is the kind of intern jobs you get on the day tripper. Cover your boss in bronze body paint
when he's down to his skivvies and
apply online today. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. No, that was awkward, I think, for everybody, but viewers included.
It really was. I mean, I was watching at home with Patsy, and that came on, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, can you fast forward through this, please?"
Well, more than that, I think that sprayed down rat's nest you put on your head for a wig.
Oh, what was that?
Oh, yeah. Disgusting. It was just, I've got more wigs than any grown man should own, but I took a nasty old one, went out. Brought bronze paint and just spray painted it along with like this little piece of cloth for my loincloth.
But it was like that wig was something, it was gross. Otherworldly. It was alien, gross. That wig.
It was weird.
It was like stiff. Ugh.
So yeah. Before we head back out and hit the road again to Lubbock, just one more thing too is the skateboard monkey that was on the downtown area in Marble Falls. That's now in Georgetown now. I was walking by the city hall the other day and I was like, what?
Hey.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Which I guess all that art rotates through all the main street, you know, all the main streets in Texas that are part of that art on the square or art on Main Street. I don't know what it's called.
I don't know, but it was pretty cool to see that.
Kind of good. Fun. The monkey's following us.
So let's talk about Lubbock. Lubbock was an interesting trip for us.
Lubbock surprised me.
I expected boring, flat, nothing.
It was cool.
The weather was good. The weather was spot on.
The drive up was particularly pretty. Because you on the route we took from Georgetown Austin area, you would go through all the wind farms.
Oh, yeah, those are absolutely beautiful.
And there was that that Mini Cooper. We just saw this.
Oh, that's right.
Train of Mini Coopers coming at us.
There was some event going on, and they were driving cross country.
Yeah, it was like Mini Coopers across America or something
and
like
you
that.
You were
how many
there?
Mini Coopers?
It had to have been that we saw
at least
50.
I want to say at least 100.
There were
at least 2,000 there, guys. I know. I saw.
There's at least 5,000 acres. Yeah.
5,000.
So we did actually catch up with them in Lubbock, and they were staying at the same hotel that we were. And they said there was about 200 of them, and some had come as far as like Germany and other countries and flown in and brought their Mini Coopers, and they were doing this big ride across from coast to coast in the U.S. It was amazing.
That's cool.
But it was a gorgeous drive up. But yeah, like Kelly said, Lubbock surprised me in how pretty it was. Mm-hmm. Thinking it's going to be. Just another dusty,
flat place.
Kind of boring.
You know, every Red Raider will tell you how much they love Lubbock for the most part. And you're just like, you went to college there. You're going to love your college town. But, you know, when you look at it as objective, maybe it's not that great. But Lubbock's awesome.
I like Lubbock a lot.
As a visitor, it's probably a 10.
Yeah.
If you live there, you'll probably come down a couple of points. But, you know.
It's cool. You know, and another thing that was a lot prettier than I expected, Texas Tech's campus.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever hear that's a pretty campus. People don't
say
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
The architecture I thought was really cool. Yeah.
And they showed us a good time. We had too much fun at the riding around in a golf cart. We wrapped you up.
With the red crepe paper.
Yeah. Those two mask campus people, that's actually Todd and Kelly coming out and wrapping me up.
And then we drove around on the golf cart for a while, but more than that, we had a good time at the Blarney Stone trying to make the Blarney Stone thing happen.
Took way too long. Remember, Todd is the producer on this one. I told Todd, get me like an Irish beard. The guy bought me a 3-foot-long pirate beard.
Red.
That's all they had over at Lucy's. That was all they had.
We tried to trim it like right
like
before
30
we shot
minutes
it, like, some
in the bathroom
just, like,
trying to trim
it.
Like the mustache was, you know, at least a foot long in its own. So I try to trim it, and then it looks just terrible.
So sure enough, he turned out to be a clean-shaven Irishman.
Yeah.
But you guys took forever on that bit, because I know that whenever y'all were doing that, Lacey and I, who was one of the PR people from the campus,
took
off, and we drove all over campus, grabbed a bunch of B-roll stuff,
the ring and the rider
and all this stuff. We came back, and y'all were still going. I was like, dadgum.
Yeah.
Well, we had
it took a while.
We had a
costume.
It was quite a bit of
Anytime we do one of those split screens, thing. You have to think it through because when and so that's the way we do it. People wonder, oh, how in the world are there two Chets on camera? Well, you shoot one Chet and then you shoot another Chet.
And you leave the camera exactly
you have to leave the camera exactly the same. And then you, crop the two of them to where you see two Chets. And as long as the camera didn't move, you're good.
No, when the camera does move, you're screwed.
Yeah. Which Richie has had to fix a few times.
Yeah.
But this was those always take so much time because you have to think, I don't want to change costume for everything. And when are we locking the camera off? When are we moving it?
And
so
what eye line is which?
Like, yeah. Where
which,
am I looking?
Because I'm not looking at another Chet. I've got to look.
Probably at me because I'm
yeah,
reading.
Yeah, because Richie
lines
will stand in a lot of times as the other Chet. So
yep.
Where Chet's
Todd was Davy Crockett. Richie was Blarney Stone guy.
Yeah. I think Katie was Sam Houston once when he did some splits with.
That's
Sam.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Huntsville.
That was that our first split screen? That Huntsville where Sam Houston joins me at
maybe.
Dinner. That
it
time
might have been.
And
right.
That was a pretty good looking one too. Yeah, I know the triple split in Georgetown was one of the.
Oh, that's definitely the most involved one we've ever done because it wasn't just two Chets; it was three. As different characters. That one was hard
and
to storyboard out.
That needed a different
out.
Direction because they only hear different voices and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the split there in Lubbock, trying to get those Irishmen.
You know, and the food there was really good, too. I'm actually wearing my Spanky's shirt here to honor the fried cheese.
Man, that fried cheese at Spanky's.
Don't plan anything after that because
no.
You're done.
It's just nap time in the parking lot. I mean, that fried cheese tasted unlike any fried cheese I've ever had. And I mean, that's kind of like, okay, it's cheese with batter and it's deep fried. But no, man, I don't know what it was. It was amazing. And one thing I wish we could have put on camera, but we didn't have time for it, was those Chihuahua sandwiches at the drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Right. Yeah.
You remember
so
that?
At the very, very end, Stars and Stripes drive-in.
The owner was great. He was fantastic.
He was fantastic. We liked their T-shirts were cool. We even got T-shirts from him.
That's right.
Yes, we did. And the movie was awesome. Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, was playing.
Yeah.
And we didn't really
which we
to,
didn't show
we
for
didn't,
copyright
yeah.
reasons,
yeah,
for
we,
obvious copyright
we
reasons.
We didn't get to stay very much in it, but it was really cool. Like, you know, I guess growing up in our part of Texas, those kind of drive-ins have kind of died. So having that as a real revival kind of thing. I think that's two locations, right?
He's putting another one in New Braunfels, which I think it might have opened by now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
I was going to say, not for long.
There's a few that are still hanging on. There's one in La Mesa. There's one in Gatesville, I believe, or around Gatesville,
right.
One in
but
Innes.
That was my first time to go to one, like,
me
you
too.
Know, dirt, the where you park the cars and the kind of the ring of cars that go around the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Each one has a little, like... like an
mound.
Angle.
Yeah, so you
yeah.
can
so the
angle
cars
up towards
pull
the
up
screen.
And then look up at the screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
these people were serious about it, too. They were pulling out lawn chairs. They had coolers. Some people actually had... So when you go there, instead of doing the old days where you have that box
the
that
speaker,
sits next to
right.
it, you actually tune into it to an AM band station, and FM band station, and you can get your audio through your car speakers.
Right.
Some people brought radios with Bluetooth connectors and had big
giant
speakers and it was like they were building their living room there at the drive-in.
It was basically a mobile living room. That's
and
right.
They really did up the little cafe in the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was amazed at the food there.
Good food and that Chihuahua sandwich.
Yeah, the Chihuahua sandwich. So the history of this thing is one of the original drive-ins is in La Mesa, which is south of Lubbock or sort of southwest of Lubbock. But it's a family member that opened this one in Lubbock, and he asked if he could sell Chihuahua sandwiches. And they've been a legend at the one, the Skyview, I believe it's called, in La Mesa. But what it basically is... It is two tostadas, so you've got these tostada chips.
The flat, crispy
flat,
shell.
Flat, crispy shell, taco shell, but flat. They put pimento cheese on it, then they throw taco meat, onions, lettuce.
No, cabbage.
Cabbage. Cabbage, so that it stays crispy.
Yeah.
Onions, and then that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beans?
Pimento.
Yeah, pimento cheese.
Pimento.
That's kind of the gloss, the glaze on the top of the donut.
The cabbage was the only weird thing for me that I couldn't really get over, but it tasted amazing.
It was shredded cabbage.
It was just like one of those odd ingredients.
But the big
tomatoes?
Deal was, no tomatoes. The big deal was the pickled jalapeno has to go with it.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
It was stuffed
that
in this package
really
with a pickled jalapeno.
That really put
so
it
a tostada top. With pimento cheese. I mean, it was awesome. It was like a taco with pimento cheese on it. Woo, it was good.
I wanted to come back and make them.
I know. Right I know. Yeah, you could have done that. So, I mean, we'll get into the Chihuahua sandwich someday when we do a La Mesa episode. And another reason to go to La Mesa is that's supposedly where the chicken fried steak was invented. So we got a lot of history to do down there. I'm excited about that one. But man, that Chihuahua sandwich was good. You know, Lubbock, I think overall turned into just an awesome.
All the Buddy Holly awesome stuff.
All
stuff
the Buddy Holly. Yeah. Richie, you actually bought one of the, was it Buddy Holly's greatest hits?
Well, we were trying to listen to Buddy Holly the whole time, and in and out of radio, and then
Like streaming the internet over your thing.
It kind of didn't work, so we finally just broke down and bought a $34. CD.
It went to the center. Shop. It went to the center.
It was tough.
CDs are so retro.
Right, exactly. but what was interesting is that, you know, the Buddy Holly Museum, you know, they didn't want us to show everything.
That's right. They couldn't give it all. They were very particular protective on what we could show inside of their center. And we've never had anyone do that. Most people are like, great, yeah, get people
show
here.
It all.
Yeah. And they were like, whoa, what are you gonna show? We'll leave you three things, but it can't be this one thing. Or they had a couple things blocked off, but the main one, they said, we do not want you to show it. And I could kind of understand when you see it, but They have Buddy Holly's glasses that got recovered from his plane crash.
So those are the,
it was
the real glasses.
It was, yeah.
You know, Buddy Holly's glasses are iconic. They have the big ones out in front. You can take pictures with them.
That's the big souvenir.
The real glasses that he wore that were recovered from the plane crash are there. And it's really sobering to see. Yeah, I don't know if putting it on camera would have done it any justice. So. Yeah. Maybe it's better that we didn't include it, but it was kind of weird that they wouldn't let us.
But the guitar was really cool. We asked for the guitar.
Oh, that's right. They allowed us to do the guitar. We won't do the glasses. We'll do the guitar, which was his last guitar.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Uh-huh.
And the art there was, we didn't cover a lot of the art, that art museum that's attached, but that was pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, you know, they've got a whole gallery that's attached to the little museum part that rotates all the time. I think there's a lot of reasons to go to that museum. Very impressed with that museum.
And I did like your intro that you did with all the Buddy Holly references in the
I don't know if everyone, I don't know if everyone's going to pick up on that.
I know. Well, my wife was like, as soon as I said Peggy Sue, she goes, "What?" Cuz I go, "Well, baby, this is the day trip for you." Peggy, well, hold Sue, on there, or, Peggy Sue.
Yeah.
She's like, "Peggy Sue, why did you say that? That doesn't make any sense." She's like,
"Every
wait,
day.
That's a Buddy Holly song." I was like, "Yeah, and you just missed seven other Buddy Holly songs in there." So that's a little trivia question. Go and count the number of Buddy Holly songs that are referenced in the Lubbock intro. We'll give you a special prize. Shout it
so
out.
Let's,
you know.
Let's go ahead and take the road trips all the way down to the coast and head to Port Lavaca.
Oh, good.
Boy, Port Lavaca, we moan because that was day two was a bust. The weather did not cooperate
with
us.
That's got to be the biggest bust in day tripper history.
That wasn't easy before we even showed up.
Oh, man.
We had real trouble getting, not trouble, but just, you know, there's certain things we get to rely on when we're pre-producing the episodes, talking with the local CVBs and chambers and kind of lining a few things up.
They're usually very helpful, and I don't want to dog any chamber. They're between directors or when we filmed it was, and so they were like, you know, a TV, we don't know anything about that. You're on your own. And it's like, we're trying to do a good thing, but...
And we found some real gems out there.
Oh, yeah.
We did.
It was tough. We should have known then pre-production that it was going to be a bear, and it was.
The major bust happened day two. We woke up to
fishing.
We were planning on going fishing, a ride to the lighthouse,
the morning,
some other
very
stuff.
Early
in
morning.
Early morning. We wake up to the nothing has moved in from the Neverending Story.
The nothing has moved
into Port Lavaca, covering the sky. We have about 5 foot visibility in front of our car.
This is just getting on the drive out there.
You know what was really stunning was when we went out on the boat to go fish. First of all, I didn't catch anything. Surprise, surprise. But what was really shocking was going out on the boat and then coming back, we had no clue going out there of all the houses and the businesses.
Yeah. We had no visibility whatsoever.
It was full of stuff and places to see.
We were in this little fog tunnel, zipping through it.
Captain Mike was fantastic.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, man, hands down.
Mike Bohotch. If you need to fish down on the coast, Mike Bohotch. I can't speak as highly enough about him. He was fantastic.
Super nice.
We went out there the first day. So we're literally debating going down there. We should call this day off. This is
awful.
We should call this day off.
Because the dock is in Port O'Connor.
Yeah, which is about 20
minutes away. Port Lavaca. So it's a little bit of a drive. And on that drive, we're going, do we call it now? Do we just turn around?
Call it now. This is terrible. We've never called a day like this. It was like
we're not on the spot.
We called it, you know, a few days in advance.
We get in the boat and we hope it burns off.
And then it's like, well, if we catch a good fish, maybe so.
Maybe it's worth it.
And the day before, we'd had sun, and so it was like this was supposed to be an afternoon activity. How are we going to say, like, suddenly the fog came in and covered everything?
Yeah. I mean,
how are we going to do this?
We were heading out full speed into the water, and captain knows where he's going, so
yeah, he's looking at
like
GPS.
20, we had like 20 feet of visibility on that boat,
and it was cold too. I had my big jacket on, and I'm hunkered. I'm using my headphones as earmuffs because the wind is so cold on my ear. And me and Lindsay are hunkered down in the
y'all
boat.
Just looked like a big mass of jacket hunkered down in the boat.
Oh,
you couldn't
man.
Tell
and you're
one
just
apart.
Wet going through that mist and that fog. You're just
cold and
wet
and windy.
You know?
That's right.
And that was a total bust. We've got hours of drift footage and our main camera footage that
nothing.
Didn't
well,
use,
what
didn't
happened?
Use any
yeah.
of it.
We went out for 4 hours, casted, you know, just casting line after line, caught nothing. Well, we caught one fish, one little trout that wasn't a keeper that was like about 8 inches long, threw it back, caught nothing else, no bites, nothing. And so I'm sitting there always thinking through the edit in my head going, okay, well, this segment will then have to be, it's going to be about, it's not about catching anything. It's about it's about the experience of being on the water,
let's
right?
Let's ride ourselves out
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, let's ride ourselves out. It's like, oh, man, this is a bust. And then Todd and I, the sun kind of comes out. Todd and I then get to Matagorda Island, and we have about a 2.5 hour, mile ride to a lighthouse.
Oh, yes, the lovely bike ride.
Well,
yeah. We got about 100 yards in, and all of a sudden, Todd busts a tire
flat
on his bike,
tire.
Flat tire, zero spares, and mm-hmm. and then we just defeated, completely defeated at that point.
Heads
came
down,
back
tails
and said,
between our legs, and said,
"We're done.
Wrap it up." And sure enough, like Todd said, the ride home on that first trip from the island, going back to the shore with Captain Mike,
beautiful.
The skies opened up on us. There were
dolphins.
Oh, those dolphins!
Yes,
everywhere.
The dolphins
we saw
were
really
awesome.
All these really great homes that were.
Just right on the water.
Fishing huts mm-hmm. just built right on
oh,
the
right
silts
there.
In the water.
Yeah.
And the bay's only like 3 feet deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something nuts like that. And so it's like, oh man, how are we going to redo this? We're going to have to come back.
Yeah, have
so
to.
So we put together the rest of our day. We had some shots in Indianola.
We did manage to salvage the day. The sun came out. We got Indianola really well. Mm-hmm. Port O'Connor got like all the B-roll stuff and filmed part of Josie's, which is the restaurant I was supposed to take the fish I caught.
to eat
and we were like, look, let's get everything we can. So we went in, we did the interview, the customer interviews, the kitchen stuff, all of that, everything but the eating. Got that done. So we managed to save some of the day.
Well, we had to like completely redo it all. I remember Lindsay was like, I have to replan this entire episode that we planned.
Yeah.
And everything moved from here to there.
Yeah.
We'll do this then. And then
yeah,
we'll
she was rescheduling in the car on the way to Port Lavaca because things were falling apart.
Oh, it's falling
right.
apart.
Yeah. Even that, even getting down there.
And then,
so we rescrambled the whole thing, tried to make it work.
And it just didn't.
And we were like, okay, we're going to have to come back.
Yeah, we scrapped it at that point. We were going to have to come back.
Yeah.
So we scheduled. We filmed in April. I think we rescheduled for June. And then fell through because of weather. We were going to have a horrible, it's like, we're not going down there twice
unless
in a row to get, yeah, perfect. Then ended up, we're like, at the last minute, like, uh-oh, guess we have to do this tomorrow. Because we're like, our deadline's on delivery. We're like, remember, this is like one of the fall episodes.
Right.
That means we need to film it tomorrow. So we went down there in August, and I'm thinking like, oh, dude, I filmed this in April. I had this horror, like, winter pasty white, and then I've been swimming all summer, so I've got this, like, tan now. This is not going to match at all.
The audience will never know.
Yeah.
Until we tell them here. On the
until we reveal it all.
Now. But we came back. Captain Mike took us out again on the boat. We got some great fish. I think we got a great segment. We shut that two camera.
Oh, yeah.
And that
that was fun.
Really
oh, man.
Well.
It turned out awesome.
That in the middle of the GoPro,
we
dipping
caught,
that in the water.
Then,
it was
yes,
awesome.
Yeah,
was so
we caught
fun.
Some beautiful fish.
And Josie's was.
Josie's cooked it up amazing.
And, yeah.
And then we went out to Matagorda Island.
Yeah, so I'm still cursing you on that one. So Chet's like, hey, we're going to go on this bike ride out to this lighthouse.
Lots
at the
of
other
air quotes.
End.
Lots of air quotes in this. Thing.
Yeah, you can't see us, right? Yeah. We're going on this bike ride.
So
Chet's
just a few miles away.
So Chet pitches this to me, and he's like, you know what? You're great. Bring the camera. We'll get a tripod. Strap it all this to my back. And we're going to go on this like a three-hour bike ride, a three-mile bike ride, which really was like 6 miles round trip for this bike ride.
Yeah.
So partway through, I'm like, you know, host star of the show or not, you're taking a tripod.
I did. Well,
no
I had
way.
My costume and a bucket for sand. I had all this weird stuff.
Yeah,
you definitely were the pack mule on
it
that
was
one.
It was definitely a bear because I only saw them when they came back. Mike and me were just hung out on the dock while you while y'all
you guys are in the shade with the breeze and
we're over there. Mike took his shirt off. He was like hanging with you. You guys looked like y'all were y'all were having a cabana party over there, like
something like that.
Todd and I.
And these two raspberries come back from destroyed.
Oh,
first of all, Chet is dirty from having dirt thrown in his face on top of the sweat.
Oh, yeah, it was gross.
And they're both either one over red because, just bright red because one, they've been pumping their legs trying to get back into all this soft sand and grass, which I ride bikes
for long distances. I've done the MS-150. I've done 30 milers of, you know, things like this. This is not... Yeah, so I'll go a 2.5 mile, 3 mile bike ride. This is a piece of cake. I'd do that on the way to work. It was one of the hardest bike rides I've ever
there
done.
There was like hardly any pavement at all.
And
it
you're trudging through sand.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was crazy. For some reason, the coastal breeze, like we were down below the dune, so it was just this sweat lodge of heat. I was wearing Chacos. There were cactuses everywhere, like scraping my feet. I've seen horrible pictures of all the rattlesnakes out there, so I knew that if I fell over, I was going to get eaten alive by snakes.
Bottom line, though, is when you got out there, it was gorgeous. I mean, the lighthouse
was something really neat to see.
And not many people take the effort to go out there, and it is worth it.
It's a lot of effort.
It's a lot of effort.
And there is, and you may think, well, y'all are dumb. Y'all should just taking a boat over there, but there's not a dock. There's no place nearby to
put
a boat.
This is the easiest way to get there.
This is the only way to get there, which is crazy. There used to be a state park, and they did all kinds of things, but now, if you want to see this lighthouse, which, of course, I want to see everything in Texas, it's built in the 1850s. It's amazing. You have to either hike or bike to it. And so it takes some effort, but I thought it was rewarding.
It was tough to even get information about it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of, you know, some website that's 10 years old says, oh, yeah, there's tours. And the website that's 5 years old says, oh, the dock burned down. And then the website that's only 2 years old is like, there's only a hunting thing that Texas Parks does, but it's federal land.
Yeah.
But Texas State runs it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. Nuts. You have to charter a boat over there, bring your own boat, and the information is real sketchy.
So in the middle of all this, then, one of the funny things, too, is we do these driving intros, and the driving intro for that episode was actually filmed in Round Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, you're giving away our secrets. Yeah. Speaking of driving intros,
Arts, we didn't talk about Arts. Arts is one of the only places. So Arts, we featured it for lunch that episode. And then on top of that, it's the only place we've ever gone to again
for an off-camera
meal because it was
good stuff.
Arts is the place in the episode, they serve these big, giant boiling pots of Cajun seafood. Dungeness crab, king crab, shrimp, crawfish. Oh, there are a few meals on this show that I daydream about. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. And that was like a really hard to edit because I wanted seafood so bad while we were watching it. Oh, it was
the LaSalle bit was ridiculous. The wig you wore for LaSalle was awesome.
It's this like ladies brothel powder wig. You're like, of course. It's a good Frenchman.
And then Lindsay was off camera having to translate.
Yeah, Google Translate.
So LaSalle was from France, and of course we wanted to be historically accurate because everything we do on the Day Tripper is historically accurate.
Giant air quotes there as
well. So I wanted to speak in French because that's what he would have spoke. So I had this script of what I wanted to say, but I hadn't translated it. So you got Lindsay off camera with Google Translator feeding me lines. And so she was like, I'm like, Can nous savons? Can nous savons?
La Rivière.
She actually, I still haven't put it back into Google Translator to see if I actually said what I think I said. Lindsay could have been feeding me anything.
The subtitles are correct.
Like that scene in Goonies where it's like the cockroaches go on the bottom, where Corey Feldman is translating for the maid. Maybe Lindsay pulled one of those. She pulled a Goonies on me.
Yeah, so if you're fluent in French and you watch that episode, do us a favor. Yeah. Do not let us know if we were inaccurate. Just give us a pass on that one. So let's go ahead and hit the road and let's cruise back up north for Christmas in Grapevine.
Yeah. It was fun. Grapevine is the Christmas capital of Texas.
One year.
Yes.
Before.
So this is one of them. I wanted to do a Grapevine episode and it's the Christmas capital of Texas. And so you think, okay, well then you got to do it at Christmas time. Well, that throws a whole nother little, curveball because if you want to air a Christmas episode, you're going to film it at one Christmas, and we can't turn out an episode quick enough to still air before Christmas is done. So like, okay, if we film it at Christmas, we're going to air it in May. That doesn't make any sense. No one cares about Christmas in May. So we've set on that. We set on that episode until the next October in hopes that people are now getting into the cold. Cold mm-hmm. weather's back, the holiday season, because that kind of thing.
We hope Christmas comes again.
That's yeah, we
hope. Fingers crossed.
I'm betting Christmas comes again.
I don't know, Richie. I'll take the under on that one.
Exactly.
Great time.
Caleb Marsh was actually a fan of the show for
yeah,
a while.
Caleb reached out to me. Yeah, he's a super fan. Loved the show. He's a fellow Baylor Bear. Great guy.
Sick him.
And there were all
we'll
of
forgive
our,
him for that.
A lot of the guys, the normal producers couldn't come on the show. And so I said, well, who's someone up there that could help us out? Called Caleb. He's like, I'm in. I don't care. I'm in.
He was fantastic, too.
No, he was. He was great. Oh, yeah. Kept us in the producer's job in the field is to keep us on schedule, to advance, if we're running behind, to let the next person know that we're behind.
And all the paperwork.
And make sure that we get the shots, all the paperwork, the releases, all that, and make sure that we're getting the shots we need because our minds are 1,000 places, and sometimes we forget the easy stuff like the exterior sign. We need someone to say, have we gotten the exterior sign yet?
Yeah, to run our shot lists for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, and so Caleb did a fantastic job on that. But it was fun, and we came up with that concept of Chet's in the Christmas spirit, but it takes a while for the crew to come around. Yeah. So planning out where other people got excited about Christmas
was fun. We workshopped that pretty hard in the office planning for that episode.
It was
and
cool.
And then we're to drop in, because we're movie buffs, and we're to drop in all of our movie mm-hmm. references.
Of course.
So we did.
That'd be a fun trivia question. How many movies did we reference there?
Christmas Story.
Don't
give it away.
Christmas Vacation, Christmas Carol.
Yeah, did all those.
All kinds of stuff like that.
You know what was interesting was the ice sculptures. It was so cold in that room. Freezing cold.
Yeah, nine degrees cold. I mean, it's amazing that they set up the Gaylord Texan does ice sculptures in a conference room. And they keep mm-hmm. it as cold as they do. I don't know how. I'd hate to see their AC bill at the end of that thing. But like,
and Kelly, you were talking stories about tripods and stuff like that.
Well, it was so cold that your equipment starts acting differently. The fluid in the tripod head had all frozen up, so you couldn't turn
really
the
stiff.
Camera.
No pants.
All
no.
the audio cables had stiffened up, and I couldn't wrap audio cables up at the end.
And then your batteries definitely act different when mm-hmm. it's super
your batteries
cold.
Don't last nearly as long. And
so we had extra batteries with us. And
oh
wear
yeah,
those
yeah,
big
yeah.
parkas and that uh-huh, was, it was uh-huh. fun. It was pretty fun.
It was cool, but with that parka and I think just my excitement, I think I could have stayed in there longer than I thought. I thought like, oh, we have 10 minutes to get out of here, or else we're dead, and it's going to turn into the movie Alive, and we're going to be eating each other in the corner of the Gaylord Texan.
Like
but it didn't. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. It was fun.
Well, we had to thaw out for like an hour.
Yeah, hot chocolates.
They had this little cafes inside the rest of the hotel.
Yeah.
thing. And those people, the girls there, really did a great job with us. And
they said the words "hot chocolate," and I think Kelly's eyes popped out of her head.
Right
away. Oh yeah, three.
But that was.
Oh,
fun.
But anyway, Grapevine was an absolute. That was a great episode. One funny behind the scenes thing is that if you watch the episode, I've got a pretty gnarly beard. It's a pretty good beard. I guess Movember had come along, and I had kept it going. So it's about a 2 month beard, I want to say. But it was past the fact I had shaved this beard, and we decided we were going to go back to these driving intros. If y'all noticed season 5, we got away from them doing kind of bits and different things
like that.
And we liked the driving intros better. Well, okay, how's Chet going to do a driving intro when he doesn't have a 2 month beard like he did in the episode? It'd be clean shaved Chet. And then like on the way to Grapevine, I
just grew this beard.
Grew this awesome beard. And so I was like, Santa's got a better beard than I do. So I said, I'll do it as Santa. That way I had a beard to cover the fact that I had no beard in the driving intro.
Yeah, so thanks to a good shout out to the Georgetown Palace Theater for the loaning of their costume
for
us.
Had a Santa costume ready for us.
Awesome. So lots of fun this season mm-hmm. so far. The first few episodes you guys have seen, a little bit of behind the scenes there. We will do this again when we air the next set of episodes and walk you through those as well. But let's go ahead and head over and get some of the questions that we have from our listeners.
Huh? Are we there yet? Questions from the backseat. Sorry, right, Todd collects viewer questions. If you have questions, submit them to questions@thedaytripper.com.
Or just call Todd, 512. Yeah.
867.
Hit him up on Twitter or hit us up on Facebook. We love answering y'all's questions. So what you got, Todd?
So Greg Johnson out of Sugarland gets two questions this
Greg
week.
Greg Johnson, I know. No, I
Greg.
Don't.
Sorry, so, Greg. Two, I don't two stars.
Know you. So here Sugarland, we go. So hometown. So Greg's first question is, have we ever got a ticket while on the road for the show?
Let's plead the fifth on
Let's
this
see.
One.
Chet, as a recovering attorney,
I
Chet counsel. Ever got, let's see. I think
I kind of know.
Counsel, I've please
seen,
advise.
I've seen Chet. I've seen Chet talk his way out of four possible tickets, maybe five.
We've been stopped. We've been stopped a couple times.
Yeah,
we got pulled over on the toll. I forget where we were going, but we were on the tollway. Driving out of Austin,
1:30.
We're all packed down, and
the car is loaded
down because we just took one car that time. So it's all of us and our gear in one car, and our luggage for the stay in one car. And we're driving down the tollway in the left lane because you know Chet's on a mission.
And then God, what a mission from God!
It's 85 miles an hour on the tollway,
and there's like cars all over, you know, left and right lane.
Yeah, oh yeah, everybody's just flowing.
We got lit up, and this officer pulls us over and says that he pulled Chet over because he was driving in the left lane, which was designated for passing only.
As we're
there must have been like two dozen cars.
As we're sitting there, there are as many cars in the left lane as there are in the right lane. But, you know, he has a right to do that if it's a passing.
He wanted a sniff.
I know. And so it's kind of always difficult to explain why you're carrying all this gear that he doesn't need to search out for drugs.
Now, why is this car with these plates but registered to the manufacturer?
I know. So the short answer is, thankfully, no, we have never gotten a ticket. Have we been pulled over?
Yes.
Repeatedly.
Multiple times.
But we also got pulled over in Baytown. We actually were driving around. Of course, Richie and I are hanging out the windows with our cameras filming along the way, and there's refineries and stuff there as well. So this cop pulled us over, and Chet's, you know, like the usual, officer, did I do something wrong? What's going on?
Officer, I don't know.
And so the officer said, well, first of all, it caught my attention. You guys had these two cameras hanging out, but then I saw your license plate day trip. I just wanted to chat.
Yeah, you're that guy from that show.
And then of course, here's the classic question. He goes, and I also wanted to know, why are you in Baytown?
He was from Baytown. He's like, why are you here?
Nothing here.
Yeah. Which speaks, you know, there's a lot of hometown kick the dirt. None of that. What? There ain't nothing special about this old town, but there always is. You know, it's true. We've been.
Anytime we film near refineries, someone calls us.
Because we've got cameras rolling, and they're really thinking that we're about to blow up the refineries. It happened in Beaumont once, and we were at Larry's French Market. Groves, actually. We were at Larry's French Market. I got a call from a guy I hadn't spoken with in high school, and he said, yeah, someone called in. You got cameras on the refineries, so I'm calling you. You're not trying to blow up the refineries today, are you, Chet? I was like, what are you talking about? Because, we ran your plates. I realized it was you. We were about to put out an APB, but then I decided I'll just give him a call because I know your father-in-law. It's like, okay.
Small town pays off.
I know, small town. I was like, no, we're not blowing up the refineries.
Not today.
Not today.
So let's go ahead and give old Greg Johnson a second question here. This is a really interesting question in that it was, what non-Texas city really belongs in Texas? And Kelly had the first answer on this one.
Well, I just got back a few days ago from a road trip to Zion National Park, Utah, in the Grand Canyon, and we passed.
You were
through.
Outside of the great state of Texas?
I left.
Kelly, you
guys,
never.
I left.
There's
the
no
land.
Reason to leave. Ever.
There are several reasons.
You're fired for the second time on this podcast.
And so on the way there and the way back, we passed through Flagstaff, and it was just a real cool, one of the highlights of that trip because, I mean, you got out there in New Mexico and Arizona, and there's a whole lot of nothing out there.
Yeah.
But Flagstaff was cool. It kind of had the vibe of, like, halfway between Austin and Georgetown. Had neat little shops and neat little shopping squares, and it's always nice to have a change of scenery as far as trees and stuff.
The Walmart parking lots are pretty nice.
Is that true? All the hotels were booked up on the night we were there. There's a thing called the Flagstaff Film Festival that just happens to be that same weekend. So we were
every single
hotel room was booked, and we had to stay the night in our cars in a Walmart parking lot.
I find
lot.
It hilarious
that's
that you
some day tripper
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
right
it
there.
Is kind of. We haven't had to do that yet. I find it hilarious that you have such favorable memories of a town you slept in a parking lot.
I hated it that night and that morning. And then on the way home, I was like, well, OK, Okay.
All right.
Like that's day tripper to a T. We're out sweating. We're bleeding out there. And it's too hot. I don't want to do this anymore. And then you make the show, and you're like, "Oh, that was kind of fun.
I like that."
You only remember the good parts. See this. Yeah. You only remember the good parts.
And the second spot, and the second spot that y'all mentioned in our discussions was Buena Vista, Colorado.
I mean, that's a tough question for me because there's a lot of great towns. I really like Seattle. I like some towns in Colorado. I like some towns in North Carolina. Raleigh-Durham area is awesome. But, like, they're really good in their state.
Yeah.
I don't know if we necessarily want them or need them. I love the fact that they exist over there. But if I could move any city into Texas, I'd be Buena Vista, Colorado.
See, and I took it more as, like, what town have you been to outside of Texas that you feel would fit in Texas?
Like a kindred spirit
kind of thing. Exactly.
You know, Buena Vista's got that. It's a town between these beautiful 14ers. They've got river rafting. It's very outdoorsy. It would fit in Texas, but I just wish it were here.
Aren't there like sister cities to cities in Texas?
There are sister cities. Like, you know, I'm sure Austin has a sister city in Argentina and stuff like that.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So here's our last question. Last question is this, and this came from Kat Hale on Facebook. It says, are there restaurants that you try that do not end up on the show?
Yes and yes, but not while we're filming.
But not really.
Chet's good about, you're good about scouting, so you know ahead of time.
Yeah.
You've eaten there.
People
ahead of
ask,
time.
Like, do you love everything you eat because you always seem like you love it so much? And the answer is yes.
That's why it's on the show.
That's why it's on TV, because I've tried it before and I know it's going to be good. But I've had some absolutely serious busts when we're out filming. One of the, like, we're I would go,
filming?
Not sorry, filming,
scouting.
When we're out scouting, excuse me.
Yeah.
I've had some absolute, you know, serious busts when we're out scouting. I will have, this place will be recommended highly. Everyone will rave its reviews, Yelp 5 stars, and I go, and it is terrible. And a lot of the times I'm in small towns and there's not so many Yelp reviews, but this one I went to, like, I was there at lunchtime, none of the house lights were on, everyone in there was, 75 and older, and I love our older viewers, but it was, you know, that says something out of place. There was this little hot plate buffet in the back of frozen food, and none of the weirdest thing was no house lights were on, and then there was this guy in the corner on a Casio keyboard playing Don Ho songs.
I remember you telling us
it was almost good enough to put on TV, but I didn't know he would be there. But he's sitting there, no house lights, everyone's sitting there slurping soup, and he's over there going, "Tiny bubbles in the wine," and he's got a Casio keyboard and one snare drum, so it's like,
wow.
I mean, if I could have captured this moment forever and make it be my happy place,
like
I would go there.
Coen Brothers
movie. It was so
it
weird.
Does. You're right.
So weird. And I was like, all right, yeah, this place can't be on TV. This is way too strange.
Wow.
So yeah, that answers the question. By the time it makes TV, we've already vetted it, and we know it's going to be good.
Yeah, because there's only so many hours.
So going forward, we'd love these kind of questions, love to answer y'all's questions and give you more insight into the show, or at least make up great stories about it. So please email us at questions@thedaytripper.com.
And then call Todd, area code 512.
Yeah, I'm gonna go and cut you off on that.
Love me, love me, love me.
All right, our next segment. Texas Music Minute with Richie Lozano. Hit it.
If I had $1 million, you know, I'd spend it all. So this is one of the really great tracks we decided to use for Wimberley.
Yep.
Episode way back in season 2. It was really fun. It had a really great vibe. We needed a great song to kind of show how fun, in general, Wimberley is. It's kind of country. It's kind of like... it's got a great art scene with the great glass blowing out there, and the pizza's really progressive, and that tamale place in the middle of an antique
shop. Wimberley's got its own kind of hill country vibe. It's very fun, very laid back.
And hip.
Yeah, it's hip too.
And so we use this this track by Smile Smile. They're a great band out of Dallas. It's a boy-girl duo. I think at this time they were actually a couple.
Yeah.
And no. This album is about their breakup.
Oh, one was about We Were So In Love, another was about their breakup.
So this
is off
their 2010,
good stuff.
Their 2010 release called Truth On Tape from Kirtland Records. And they're still making great music out of Dallas, still on Kirtland Records with other artists like Bob Schneider and Sarah DeRose and things like that. So check them out. This is Smile Smile, and the track's called Cancer. It goes so fast, so just
love me, that's all I am. All right, everybody. Well, hey, thanks so much for listening. Hopefully We gave you guys a little bit of insider knowledge. We always get the question, hey, we love more stories, so hopefully this quenched your thirst and you get a little bit of an insider's peek into what it takes to make the day tripper. It is every bit as fun in the field as it is on TV. So thank you guys for watching.
Not in the editing room.
Yeah, not in the editing room.
Fun. It's
yeah,
out there shooting and watching it.
And
great.
Then, yeah, grinding out the episode in the editing room. You know, the job has its goods and bads. But we love making it. We love it that you guys are viewers, listeners to this, and are a part of it and help us make more episodes to share more of Texas with you, because it's all about inspiring you guys to go out and travel Texas, take advantage of all the beautiful things this state has to offer. We couldn't do this podcast without the help of the Highland Lakes of Burnett County. I was expecting it that time. The Highland Lakes, I can't speak highly enough about it. If you are looking for a getaway, a romantic getaway, a company conference, any family getaway that you want to have, they've got amazing, one-of-a-kind types of places that are all hidden away in the hill country. You can get all the information on that at thehighlandlakes.org, thehighlandlakes.org. Thank you to the Highland Lakes very much for your support. And thank you to the crew for joining us. Definitely thank you to Magic Room Studios here in Georgetown, Texas. We love it. We love making this podcast. Join us next time as we'll be talking about...
I don't know yet.
It's a grab bag for all of us. So
that's,
anyway.
That's day tripper all over.
That's it. All over it. All over it.
I think we actually talked about it being about our favorite places for Christmas around Texas.
Oh, yeah. It's December. Okay. Yeah. So join us next time as we'll be... Yeah. So join us next time as we'll be talking about some of our best and favorite holiday traditions that are found here in the state of Texas.
And a few bag of switches as we go along the way, I'm sure.
That, of course. Always switches and coal for all of you. Anyway, thanks, guys, for joining me. We love y'all very much. Vaya con Dios, amigos.